right. Tonight, if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. I want to use one verse here for our beginning text. And then later on, we'll take a look at another point, and we'll use Matthew 5 and verse number 6. But just Proverbs 27, verse number 7. A little bit of an unusual message tonight, but I trust it to be a blessing to you. Kind of an unusual verse. Take a look. Proverbs 27, verse 7. Says, "The full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." Now, most of us know what the first part of that verse is talking about. If you've ever been to a church homecoming service or dinner on the ground, and you, or if you've ever been to a family reunion where you strap on the feed bag, I don't know what your family reunions were like, but that's what ours consisted of. You strapped on the feed bag, right? Or if you've ever been to an all-you-can-eat restaurant and you tried to make sure you got your money's worth. And it's hard to do these days. I mean, they just get pricier and pricier, and it's like, man, I can't eat $11, $12 worth of food. I mean, it's just a lot to those things. But the point is this. There comes a point, physically speaking, when it doesn't matter how delicious the item you offered is. You're so full that you couldn't take another bite. Doesn't matter how delectable it is, don't matter how much you love that particular thing, if you are full, you loathe taking just one more bite, don't you? It's just, you can't do it. On the flip side of that, have you ever truly been hungry? I think most of us probably have never been truly hungry. I can only think of one instance in my life where I got close. My grandparents, on my dad's side of the family, they were Dothan, Alabama, and my dad, my grandpa was a farmer. He farmed the old time way. He had 80 acres, and he plowed a mule. There were combines. There were tractors. He didn't have no tractor, didn't have no combine, did it all by hand. 88 acres. Well, he would also go and sell his goods, not to some wholesaler. He'd go out and peddle his goods, house to house. Well, I decided I was going to go with him one day. I was probably about 8 years old, maybe 9 years old, something like that. And I was too young to know better. I didn't know how my grandpa was, and nobody warned me. But we went out peddling goods. Well, I think we left early in the morning, and we got back after dark, and I didn't have but a Pepsi Cola the whole time we were gone. I thought I was starving to death. I was hungry, but not really hungry like what we're talking about here. True hunger will cause you to fill your belly with all sorts of things you wouldn't dare eat if you were in your right mind. You ever seen those infomercials for Feed the Children on TV where they're trying to get people to feed the hungry? And most of us wouldn't fathom eating some of the things those people have eaten, I guarantee you. Jesus told the parable about the prodigal son, kind of hit home. Remember how the prodigal son in Luke 15, verse 14 through 16 says, "When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." Now, I know a little bit something about feeding swine. We raised hogs. That's a smelly place, okay? And he said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was there ready to eat with the pigs. That's nasty. I fed pigs when I was growing up, and it's not a pretty sight. But I've never been that hungry, amen? Look at 2 Kings chapter number 6 for just a minute. 2 Kings chapter number 6. There's a story here in Scripture of some folks that got hungry. There was a famine going on. And it kind of illustrates the point that I'm talking about. Illustrates the second half of this, the to hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And if you're hungry, you're not going to be choosy about what you're going to eat. 2 Kings 6, verse number 25. Says there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press?" In other words, hey, there ain't nowhere to get anything, woman. How can I help you? There's nothing to be helped with. There's nothing in the wine press. There's nothing in the barn floor. Verse 28, and the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" She answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son to eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy sons that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." Now that's, none of us, I don't think, would ever think that we could get that hungry, do we? But a full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Can you imagine being that hungry? Now I want us to look tonight, and I want to ask the question, what are you hungry for? Now I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Yeah, talking about spiritually speaking, what are you hungry for? I want to look at two divine perspectives of being full spiritually speaking. A soul that is full of the things of this world lacks a proper hunger for God. If you're full of the things of this world, you're not going to hunger after God the way that you should. That's a different way of saying it. We can get so full of self-preservation that we cannot stomach trusting God. God wants us to trust Him. I tell you, when you live in a prosperous land such as ours that has been prosperous for so many years and used to prosperity, when you come to a time, and I think we're going to be getting here real soon, I believe we're going to see money fail. I believe we're going to see some hard times. And we're going to have to trust God. Are you where you can trust God? Or are you so full of self-preservation, you so used to just kind of doing everything yourself that trusting God is a foreign concept to you? We get so used to living by sight that we don't dare to live by faith. You know, in God we trust is still on our money. I wish it was still what people did in our land. So many do not trust God. But it's on our money, but how easy is it for us to love and trust our money rather than to love and trust God? We can sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," as long as we don't have to live it. But I think that we're going to be put to the test here. I could be wrong, and hope I am wrong. But I think we'll be put to the test here in probably not too many days. To learn to trust the Lord. The world's way of thinking is me first, right? It may go this way. Well, preacher, I've got to take care of me and mine first. God understands. Or it may come out as, well, preacher, I have to take care of business. God understands. God does understand. He understands that we've forgotten what living by faith is. We're so used to living by sight. So used to living out of our abundance. That we have forgotten how to trust God. Jesus' way of thinking is God first. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And you look at the context of that, it has to do with your day-to-day needs. You know, what shall I eat? What am I going to be clothed with? Where am I going to live? Yeah. If you put God first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will take care of those other things in your life. Mark 8, verse 35, Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Now, my Bible still reads in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. God's desire for His people is for us to live by faith. I'm talking about even when we live in a prosperous land. God wants us living by faith. He doesn't want us living by sight. He wants our dependence not upon our bank account, not upon that we own, what we have may have stored up. He wants our dependence to be upon Him. Hebrews 11, verse number 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So sometimes we can get so full of self-preservation that we cannot stomach trusting God. Another thing, we can get so full of self-pleasure that we cannot stomach living a life pleasing to God. I think one of the great downfalls of our nation is that all of the pleasure-seeking. We live in a very hedonistic society. People live for pleasure. That's why you can't hardly get them to come to church anymore. Got to be out on the boat. Got to be out fishing. Got to be out doing this, doing that, doing the other. They got all kinds of things. Go to the theme park on God's day rather than do what pleases the Lord. Understand that the only life that pleases God, that is, the only one with whom God is impressed with, is the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not living His life through our lives, that's not the way God wants us to live. When He looks at our life, He wants to see Christ living through us. Many folks say, well, you know, preacher, I'll come to church when I get around to it. Or preacher, I'll live for God when I get around to it. Or preacher, I'll follow God when I get around to it. Got around to it. I had a preacher, I got this, I've been holding on to this thing for years and years. A preacher that I learned most of my doctrine under, he had round to it Sunday. Round to it Sunday. I thought about getting Brother Charles to make a bunch of round to it's and us having a round to it Sunday. But yeah, it's funny, but it's not funny, is it? You know? Because a lot of folks never get around to it. Never do. The only problem is that the world, the flesh, and the devil keep folks so busy with the temporal things of this life that they never get around to the more important eternal things. Now, that's bad for a lost person, but it's also bad for somebody who's saved, somebody who's a child of God. You know, we had church today. And no doubt there are folks who out in places of entertainment today who should have been in God's house. You've seen it happen. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter number 2. You're familiar with it. 1 John 2. I want you to turn there because we're going to turn back also to 2 Peter chapter number 3, which is one page back. So we'll turn to this one. I was just going to read this, but I'll have you turn to it, and then we'll look at the other one also. Devil wants to keep us busy with the wrong things, the temporal things of this life, so that we don't have time for the things that are important, the things that God would have us to be involved in. 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah, now, I take that... When I read that, personally, I see that latter part of that verse. We don't express the love of the Father like we should when we love the world. The love of the Father is not going to come shining through in our lives like it ought to. We're to love, aren't we? We are. We're to love the brethren. We're to love a lost and dying world. But listen, if you're all wrapped up in the world, if your love is of the world, then the love of the Father is not going to be shining through your life. Verse 16, for all that's in the world, and here are the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So much of that is in our society today. Look, flip back to 2 Peter chapter number 3. It's just one page back in my Bible. 2 Peter 3, look at verse number 10. So many people that are living for the things of this world, they're living for the nasty now and now, rather than laying up treasure in heaven. Look at what it says here in 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, everything that folks are working for, their houses, their lands, their, I mean, you name it, whatever they have invested their life in, not only when they die are they going to leave it behind, but it's all going to burn up one day. He said, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, you ought to be about holy living and living for God, living a godlike life. Look at verse 12. Looking forward and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Man, don't you long for that in our day and time more than you ever have before? Man, when you see the wickedness of what is going on, the increasing wickedness of our day, very moral fiber of our nation is being tossed aside by its leadership. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. We need to be looking for the right things, amen. We need to be longing for the coming of the Lord, and looking for His coming, and living for His coming. Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 34 through 37, He said, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, that's a foreign concept to a lot of folks. They're not into denying themselves. They're into just whatever self wants. Give self what it wants. But Jesus said, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We see, however, that many continue to sacrifice the eternal on the altar of momentary pleasure. Look at Hebrews 11. Just turn back a few more pages, and you'll get to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, look at verse 24. It speaks of Moses here. And it says, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, just think about that for just a minute. Now, there is pleasure in sin, right? We know that. And Satan likes to advertise that. He likes you to see sin's good points, right? With the pleasure that's in it, all the good fun. But what he don't show you, he didn't show you the end of that. He didn't show you the destroyed lives. Doesn't show you that you're going to be called to answer before God one day. But I like what verse 25 says there. No, verse 26, excuse me. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Now, people don't think reproach as being riches. But what it tells us in the New Testament, as we read about those of us that suffer, choose to suffer with Christ, it's going to increase our glory for all eternity. If we share in His suffering, we're also going to share in His glory for eternity. And that's what I believe this is speaking of. And Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Can you imagine what the treasures in Egypt were at that time? I imagine they were quite a bit. But he says that he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, I think he believed that, you know, what God was going to reward him for doing the right thing was greater than value than what he could ever get there out of Egypt. So we can get so full of self-pleasure that we cannot stomach living a life pleasing to God. A third thing I want you to see is we can get so full of self-will that we cannot stomach the idea of being satisfied with the grace of God. You know, we get to where we want what we want, don't we? Even the Apostle Paul. Think about the Apostle Paul there in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, where he had that thorn in the flesh, and he went to the Lord three times to remove that thorn in the flesh. Well, what was he wanting? He was wanting that thorn in the flesh gone. What did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient for thee. Yeah. Many folks say, you know, I want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And they want it all right now. You know, want it all right now. God says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 4 that by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Okay? But people don't want humility. A lot of them have cast aside the fear of the Lord. But by humility and the fear of the Lord are the true riches and honor and life. Only problem is the Lord speaking of eternal riches, eternal honor, eternal life. And what folks, they say, you know, well, I can't wait. I want it right now. They want it in this life. It's going to mean a lot more for us in all eternity, isn't it? You think about it, eternity is a long time. Amen. Eternity is a long time. The time we spend here is just a short period of time. And boy, it just flies by, doesn't it? Can you believe it? Almost half the year is gone here. It's like every year that I live, it's like I think things are speeding up. So it's like where did the time go? Where did the time go? But listen, we're going to be here for just a short time. We're going to be with the Lord for a long time. We need to be concentrating on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because our life is hid with Christ in God. A soul that's full of the things of this world lacks a proper hunger for God. Now look at Matthew 5. And we get the second point here. Matthew 5, verse number 6. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is bringing this message to His disciples and those that were gathered around the mount. He was teaching them. And this is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And these are known as the Beatitudes. And I just want to deal with one of the Beatitudes. And that's the one found in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Where Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, we ought to be so full of the things of God that Satan cannot tempt us, even with his sweetest morsels. We're just so full of God. You say, no, thank you. You know, I got God on my life, and I don't need nothing you got, Satan. Because anything that Satan offers you, I can guarantee you, it's going to wind up bitter in the end. With regard to the words of God, the psalmist David said this. He said in Psalm 19, verse number 10, he said, "More to be desired are they," the words of God, "more to be desired are they than gold." But how many folks would take gold over the Word of God in our day and time? See? More to be desired is the word of God than gold. "Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 1. And we're going to be in this Proverbs 3. I think this is the direction the Lord's going to take me for this message I'm preparing for the graduation service next week. We're going to be back here in Proverbs 3. But I want to deal with just a portion of this tonight. Look at Proverbs 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Oh, that we would long to have that in our lives. Amen. Look down at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, get this, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Would God that folks treasured the wisdom of God and the Word of God in such a way. Psalm 65 and verse number 4 says this, says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Are you satisfied with the goodness of what God gives you down at His house? Amen. Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. If you have the fear of the Lord in your life, you'll be satisfied with what God gives you. Amen. Fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I love the verses in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. That's a passage that I preached when I first came to this church over almost 8 years ago. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Folks, our trust needs to be of God. I believe that our trust of God is going to be tried. It's going to be tested very soon. And I'm wondering how many Christians are going to be up to the test. We're living in a time when it's so easy to trust the things that we have, to trust the money you got in the pocket, to trust the food that you got in the cabinet. Most of us have plenty. We may not be rich, but we have plenty. We would be considered rich in some of the poorest nations in the world. Even some of the other nations of the world, they would consider us rich. But we need to make sure that our trust is not in those things, but in the one that gave us those things. Psalm 16, verse number 11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let me ask this evening, what are you full of? Are you full of self-preservation or trusting God? Full of self-pleasure? Or are you more concerned about living a life pleasing to God? Full of your self-will? Or do you want to be satisfied with the grace of God? If God's just with you, whenever He'll allows you to go through time of difficulty. As long as God's with you in that, are you satisfied with His grace being with you? Listen, self-preservation, self-pleasure, and self-will, those are the wrong things to be full of. And if you're full of any of the wrong things, I trust that God will make you realize your need to regurgitate those things. Amen. But if you're full, the only way to get empty, yeah, you need to get empty, don't you? And we need to confess it and forsake it and get a renewed hunger for the things of God, because blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because if we hunger and thirst after the right things, He'll fill us. Are you hungry? Not physically, but spiritually. This is the way the Apostle Paul put it, Philippians 3, verse number 10. He said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death." Paul, in his life, he couldn't get enough of God. You know, the more God he got, the more of God he wanted in his life. And he had all of God, but he wanted God to have all of him. You know, he knew he had the Lord in his life, but he knew that he needed God more than his very breath. Acquire a taste for the things of God. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture, and we'll close. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And verse 8 and 9. And by the way, what we read here in verse 8 and 9 is actually repeated throughout this psalm. It's a great psalm to read. Look at Psalm 107, verse number 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." In other words, we all just praise God for how good He is to us. Amen. Look at verse 9. "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Now, if you're longing for more of the Lord in your life, you want to be filled with the things that God would have you to be filled with, He'll fill you. Amen. What are you full of? Let's bow in prayer. If you're here without the Lord tonight, we invite you to come. Get the Lord's salvation. That's the first thing you need. That's the first part of being full of God. You come get the Lord's salvation. Get what He did for you. You're well on your way, friend. You'll have eternal life. You'll have God living within. And you can trust your life and trust your life to Him. And trust your day-to-day walk with Him. And you can learn how to hunger and thirst after Him so that you might be filled with Him. Father, we just ask that You take these words tonight. Lord, help us to grab a hold of the concepts of the things that we don't need to be full of, the things that our life is full of that's not pleasing to You. Help us to confess and forsake those things, and Lord, to have our hunger and thirst after righteousness so that we might be filled. That we ought to want to have a closer walk with You. We ought to want to, Lord, walk as close to You as possible. None of us are adequate for these things. But Lord, I believe in the days ahead we're going to need it. I believe what we see happening in our nation, the tide that has turned in such a great way away from God, away from righteousness to ungodliness, is, Lord, it's not going to go well for our country. But those of us that believe in You, those of us that have trusted You, Lord, if our trust is in the right place, we'll be able to make it through the difficult days, the difficult times. Lord, help our trust to be in You, not in the things that we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.